about Russia and give you kind of the scoop of how Russia came about and all of that stuff. So, do I need to turn this on here? It's on. We set? Good deal. All right. So, as it has been mentioned, my name is Jonathan Bartels. My wife, Courtney. Our kiddos are in the nursery, Bradley and Kimberly. Bradley's the older one. Kimberly's the 2.5 month. And so the Lord's blessed us greatly. We've been on the road for about 1.5 years. We were off the road for about 2 months due to COVID and as well as the birth of our baby. So COVID was actually a blessing for us. It might not have been a blessing for anybody else, but it was a blessing for us because it allowed me to free up my schedule and be back and spend time with my wife and be there for the birth of our little girl. So it just worked out really well for us. So it's a blessing in my life. So 1.4 years, technically, that we've been on the road. The Lord's been good to us. We've been able to raise about 43% of our support thus far, a little over 43. And so we're shooting to be on the field by the end of next year, hopefully before winter hits, is the goal. So that's what we're shooting for. So please pray for us that we could get over there and be there just to see souls saved for sure and help out the missionaries that we're going to be there with. On our back table, there are prayer cards. They look like this. There are also cards that have pictures on them. Please don't take the ones with the pictures on them. We started out with deputation with 8 of them. Now we only have 4 of them. So I do want to mention that these are our prayer cards. So please take one of these and remember to pray for us, and we would greatly appreciate it. I say it everywhere we go. There's a point, man, if I can get this back in my pocket. There's a point where we can reach enough financial support and get over there. There's never a point where we can reach enough prayer support. And so, church, we covet your prayers. We truly, truly do. And we have to have the prayers of God's people to keep us over there and to keep us going through trials and tribulations, through adjustments, through all the stuff that life may bring over on the mission field. We've got to have your prayers. So please pray for us. So going back to how Russia kind of came about in my life, I was born in a good, godly Christian home. I'm thankful for my dad. It's happy Father's Day to all you fathers. I'm thankful for my dad. My dad raised me right. He raised me to be in church. Every time the doors were open, we were in church. It was never a question, are we going to go to church today? We were going to church. And so I thank the Lord for that. Anytime the church had an activity, anytime they had a special meeting, a revival, or anything like that, Dad always made time out of his schedule to ask off for work to make sure that he was here so that he'd be a good example to his family to make sure that we were there. And so I'm tremendously blessed to have a good, godly dad, good, godly mother who supported my dad, and I praise the Lord for my family. So I come from a good, godly home. However, coming from a good, godly home doesn't make you a Christian. And when I was, growing up, my pastor preached a message on how secondary Christianity doesn't cut it, and how a lot of Christian young people that grew up in a good Christian home, such as myself, tend to write off the coattails of their parents' Christianity and never settle it for themselves. And through that message, the Lord was convicting my heart, and he was pointing me out and said, Jonathan, that's you. And so I talked to my pastor afterwards, and my pastor led me to the Lord. I made Christ real for me. It wasn't just for my parents. It wasn't a religion. It's not in baptism. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is how you get to heaven. And I accepted him personally, and thank the Lord, I've been saved ever since. Don't have to do anything to keep it. And although we should strive to live for the Lord, but we don't have to do anything to keep our salvation. Once saved, always saved. Amen. And so the Lord's been good. When I was 13, I went down to a teen camp down in Tennessee, and the Lord worked in me and gave me a burden for missions when I was 13. And I didn't know where he wanted me to do, where he wanted me to go, but I knew I had a burden. So I said, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. And when I was 16, the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to go to Russia. I was in Russia for about 3.5 months, and the Lord worked on my heart there. I saw the people, saw the need of the people, and how few missionaries are there. Of a country of 144 million people, with only about 15 missionaries for the entire country, there's a tremendous need. There's a tremendous need over there. And the Lord got a hold of my heart and burdened me for Russia. Came back to the States, went to Bible college up at Providence Baptist College in Elgin, Illinois. And the Lord made it clear to me in my freshman year there that Russia was where He wanted me to serve Him with my life. So I surrendered to that call to go to Russia. And I met my wife in Bible college, best thing that happened out of Bible college. And I praised the Lord for my wife. And then we got married. That was good. And got married in December of 2017. And obviously we have two children, so that's been a blessing. And I told you how long we've been on the road already. So that's kind of how Russia came about. We did go in July of 2018. We went back to Russia for about 2 weeks on a survey trip so my wife could see the country. And we stayed with David and Dee Dee Sterling. They're over there in the city of Krasnoyarsk, Russia. Krasnoyarsk is technically in Siberia. It's a city of 1.4 million people. And there's a great need there as well. There's two missionaries there, two good missionaries. And the Sterlings have helped start a church inside the city of Krasnoyarsk. They are outside of the city now in a town called Alita that they're in the process of getting their building, purchasing their building so that their church can just continue to grow. They've got a good group of people coming, so they just need a building so that they can continue to grow. And so, Lord willing, by the time we get over there, we can just help out the Sterlings and be a help to them with their ministry and just be extra hands to the work. Our primary focus, however, will be learning the language. We will be over there in the city of Krasnoyarsk. There's a university that has language school, and we will learn the language over there. Am I talking too fast? Okay. I just feel like maybe I'm flying through this. All right, so we're going to be learning the language over there, and then we'll just be extra hands to the work there with the Sterlings. Sterlings have been over there for about 20 years now. I do want to share a good testimony from them that we heard, because it has kind of quite a bit to do with my message tonight. There was a lady, a neighbor lady, that they had been working on ever since they moved outside into the town of Alita. For about 14 years, and they've been working on her and giving her the gospel. Over there at their house, they actually, her granddaughter is involved with their ministry. They bring her over to church and VBS and things like that. They're neighbors, so they help out on the every, pretty much out there, every Russian has a good, like a decent-sized garden. Like, I'm talking like an acre. I guess to farmers, that's probably not decent. But for just a garden, that's a pretty big garden. And so they'll help out and just be a blessing. And so it's been 14 years that they've been working on her, and they had just come back to the States a week ago, 2 weeks ago. The Sterlings had come back to the States for the graduation of their daughter from college. And so they came back on furlough. Just before they came back, they were able to lead her to the Lord. And it was such a blessing to be able to hear that. We met her on in July of 2018. And at the time, she was still lost. And they were still working on her, still praying for her. And so it just broke our heart. And so we put her on our prayer list and kept praying for her. And it's sweet to get that news. She accepted Christ after 14 years. It's good stuff. I'm not going to start preaching now. I could, but I'm not. So anyway, it's just been a blessing. We're going to try to work with them for our first term. Our burden, what you saw in the video, I'm going to kind of go through it briefly. I don't know how well you heard it. We're going to move up to the Lord willing. We're going to move up to a city called Yakutsk, Russia. Yakutsk is known as and is the coldest capital in the world. The Lord's given us a unique desire to reach the coldest parts of Russia. In the winter, it gets in the negative 60s. Summer can get up to about 70. So it gets cold. But in that city, there's 300,000 people there, and there's not a single gospel preaching church. There's not a single missionary there, and it's a city of 300,000 people. I'm right south of St. Louis, was where I grew up in Cape Girardeau. My folks moved closer to St. Louis, to Festus, Missouri. St. Louis is, I would say, a pretty big city. Population of St. Louis is a little over 300,000. So you take St. Louis and you take all the churches out of St. Louis, gospel preaching churches, and that's what Yakutsk is. So someone's got to reach them. And so the Lord's burdened our hearts to get up there and reach those people with the gospel, start churches up there, and even in the villages around, to start churches in those. There's several villages that have 500, 600, 700 people. Not big by any means, but it's 500, 600, 700 people that Christ died for that need to know the gospel. And so the Lord's burdened our hearts to reach to get up there and to reach those people with the gospel. So please pray for us. We would greatly appreciate it. There's a lot of things that goes on in a missionary's life that many of you probably don't know about and probably would never understand. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm just telling you the truth. And so please pray for us. We go through struggles. How would you like to be in a different church every week? Not that it's a bad thing. I love it. We love it. One of the greatest things, preacher, about being in a church every other week is you get to, because churches have their set amount of hymns that they sing that the people are familiar with. We sang a hymn tonight, "Oh to Be Like Thee." I'd never heard that song, but that's a great song. And so we get to learn new hymns, and so that's been a blessing. And so it is wonderful. But please pray for us, because it is, there's times when it gets hard. And so we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Mark chapter 2. You're probably already there. If you're not, well, you can start turning there, I guess. Mark chapter number 2. We are going to begin in verse number 1. And if you do have any questions, we will be back at the back table. You can ask us anything. We'll try to answer it to the best of our ability. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. Let's get into the message tonight and we'll be through quickly. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum." It says, "And again he entered," which means he's been there before. "After some days, and it was noise that he was in the house." People knew who he was. He was famous, so to speak. If you go back to Mark chapter 1 and verse 21, this is when the first time that Christ had entered into Capernaum. It says, "And they went," I'm reading from Mark chapter 1 and verse 21, "And they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." That was the first time Christ had entered into Capernaum. So he was famous, so to speak, if I can use that word. I don't like to use that word. I just don't know of a better word to use. He was well known in this city. He was known for his doctrine, first and foremost. He taught as one that had authority. And then he was known for his miracles. There was a man that was demon-possessed and he cast him out. So let's go back to our text in Mark chapter 2. Let's start reading verse number 2. "And straightway many were gathered together." So he came in and there was noise that he was in the house, and straightway, immediately, it didn't take long at all, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Let me stop right here, because I'm just going to keep going. Let me go ahead and pray, because we need the Lord's hand on this. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your goodness. your grace and your mercy towards us. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for sending your Son and your love that you had to send your Son to die on the cross for us. Father, I pray that you'd be with us now as we open your word and preach your message. Lord, I pray that you would fill us, both speaker and listener, with your power and with your Spirit, that we may take what you would have for us out of your message and apply it to our lives and live it out. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's in the house. It was noise that he was in the house, and many are here. There's no space to receive anymore. People are piled in. They can't come in. There's no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So these four men, they have a man that's sick of the palsy. It was noise that Christ was there. He was in the house. He was well known. Many were gathered together there. The house was completely full. They couldn't bring this man through the door. But this man was sick, and he needed help. And these four men, they knew that. And they carried him. And I like to mention this just because it doesn't specifically say men here. I just mentioned it was four men. It doesn't specifically say men here, but if you read the passage in Luke chapter 5 and verse 18, it does say that they were men. So, I'm just clarifying that. So these four men, they come and they bring this man that's sick of the palsy. They can't get into the door. It's packed. The house is packed. So they tear apart the roof and they let him down right in front of Jesus. And then look at verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We know this story. Story is a very familiar story, is it not? I know this story from Sunday school. It's a very familiar story, but let's go through it and let's pull out some applications here. I want you to notice in verse number 3, at the last, it says, which was born of four. These four men, we know that they're men because of what I had told you earlier in Luke chapter 18, or Luke chapter 5, verse 18. But we don't know much about them. That's about all we know. These four. So let me, if you would allow me, let me play some scenarios out with you. So we don't know what relationship these four men had with this man that was sick of the palsy. This man couldn't move. He was sick. He had no mobility. He was sick. But these four men, we don't know what the relationship was between the man that was sick and these four men. So let me play some scenarios. Maybe they were family members who knew that this man had a need. He knew that this man was sick. Who knew his condition. They grew up with him. Maybe they were parents or loved ones that knew this man. Maybe they were friends that also knew the same thing, that knew that this man had a condition, that he was sick, he was immobilized, he was laying in his bed day in and day out. Maybe they were friends of this man. Maybe they were just concerned citizens who saw this man as they went to work day in and day out. They would walk by him and they would see him laying in his bed all by himself and had no hope. Maybe they were just concerned citizens. We don't know who these men were. We don't know what the relationship is. And I believe God does that for a purpose. Because church family, it doesn't matter what the relationship is between you and the cash person behind the cash register. Doesn't matter what your relationship is between you and your neighbor. Doesn't matter what your relationship is between you and a coworker or an acquaintance. Doesn't matter what that relationship is. The question tonight is, do you see a need? We see that we don't know what these four men, what their relationship was with this man, but we do know something, that they saw a need. He saw a need that this man was sick. He needed help. Church family, there's a world out there that's sick spiritually and they need help. Here in, oh my, Bicesville, Ohio. I was in Richmond, Indiana. I was about to say that. Here in Bicesville. Am I saying that right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you see a need? Do you see the need as you go to the store and as you walk by people? Do we see them as a never-dying soul that's going to spend eternity in one of two places, church? Either heaven or hell. That's it. Chances are pretty good that it's going to be the latter end. Do we think of that as we pass by people? Or is it just, you're just too busy? There's too much going on. You just got to get in and get out. You've got things to worry about. You can't fit handing out a tract in your schedule. Do you see the need? There's a tremendous need. These four men, they saw a need. Saw a need that this man was sick and he needed help. They knew who to get him to, which makes me wonder if these four men, maybe they were people that were healed by Christ. I don't know. But they knew that Jesus was in the house. It was noise that he was there. They knew that that was who they needed to get this man to. These four men. They saw a need. Do you see a need? Church, we've got to see a need. Because that's where it all starts. The rest of my message doesn't matter if we're not going to get this point that, hey, there's a need out there. There's a lost and dying world that's going to hell. There's a need. We've got to see a need. Do we have the eyes of Christ that is full of compassion? Many times you read as Christ saw the multitudes, He was filled with compassion, or He was moved with compassion. Church, do we see a need? Do we have the eyes of Christ that would bring on compassion as we see people? Do we see a need? These four men, they saw a need. Because they saw a need, they began to be burdened for the need. This man's lying here sick. They see him. Maybe he's a friend, maybe he's a family member, but there's a need. This man needs to get to Jesus. And we've got to get him there. So we begin to be burdened for the need. As Jeremiah said in Lamentations, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." Do you let your eye affect your heart? That you'd see a need. And then begin to be burdened for the need. When I was over in Russia, as a 16-year-old boy, I saw a need. Because I saw the need, the Lord put a burden in my heart for the need. Do you walk around Bicesville, Ohio, and do you see a need that you would be burdened for the need? To say, I've got to get him to Jesus. Because He's the great physician. He can heal him. Do you see a need? They were burdened for the need. Because they were burdened, they were determined. Church, they were determined to get this man to Jesus. The Sterlings in Russia saw a need in their neighbor. Gotta get this lady to Jesus. She's an elderly grandma, a babushka. That's what grandma is in Russia. She's a babushka. There's a need. And she's got to get saved. She's coming to the end of her life. Man, we got to reach her. They saw a need and they were burdened for the need and they were determined that, hey, I've got to get them to Jesus. No matter what. No matter how long it takes. Church family, would you stick with someone for 14 years to reach him for Christ? Would you work and witness and pray for 14 years for someone to come to Christ. Not a town, not a city, for one soul. 14 years. To pray for him. It takes some determination. They were determined to get this man to Jesus. Look at verse number 4. It says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They tried every angle. They couldn't come nigh to him. They couldn't bring him into the door. It was packed full. Maybe they went around to the back door and tried to get this man in the back, and it just didn't happen. Maybe there were windows and they tried to get him into the windows, but that didn't happen either. That didn't work out. They said, man, what can we do? Church family, I believe that they could have said, you know what? We've tried. Maybe the next time Christ comes through Capernaum, we can try again. But it's just not happening today. They could have said that. But they didn't. They were determined. So they took him up on the roof. And they uncovered the roof. I think we read by that and don't really think about it. Look up. Can you imagine uncovering that roof? I'm assuming that might be wood studs, some sheetrock, maybe steel studs, some, I don't know if you've got shingles or tin on the top, but church, think of how much work that is. Could you imagine how much work that would be to uncover the roof so that you could lower down a man that's laying down in a bed from the roof? You know how long that would take? They were probably at it for hours. And they didn't have sheetrock and studs. We're talking probably concrete slabs. Over there, that the top of the roof was part of their yard. You remember King David? He went up on the top of the roof and saw Bathsheba on the top of her roof. It didn't come to a peak. It was flat. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of determination. Man, we're going to go and we're going to reach in and we're going to tear up the roof so that this man can get to Jesus. Maybe it takes 14 years to tear up a roof. Have you ever been out soul winning and you give someone the gospel and man, they're ready. You see it. And they accept Christ. Think of it this way, church. You were able to get them through the door. You were able to just walk right in and, hey, Jesus, here's a man. Let's just take him right through the door. And you got him in the door. He was ready. But maybe there's other people that you try to get him and he just, man, it's not working. Maybe we'll try again some other time and, no, still not working. And maybe you've got to take 14 years to tear up the roof so that you can let him down. You follow? Determination. They were determined that this man needed Jesus, so that they were determined so that he could get there. Look at verse number 5. We're going to be through here. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. Doesn't say the man that was sick of the palsy. We're talking the four men. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We've got to have faith. If we see the need, if we have the eyes of Christ that would move us to compassion and let our eye affect our heart, that we would be burdened for the need. and determine that, hey, no matter the cost, no matter what it takes, no matter how many years I have to work for it, I've got to get them to Jesus. If we have faith that, hey, if we get them to Jesus, He'll do His part. Every time. No question about it. We got to have faith. We got to have faith. These men had faith. Jesus saw their faith. Could it be that because of a lack of our faith, people aren't getting to heaven? Because we're not willing to do our part to get them to Jesus? I want you to notice one more thing. These four men, look at verse number 3. And they come unto Him, bringing how many? One. These four men weren't worried about the town. Not even really their neighborhood. And folks, I'm not saying you don't have to worry about that. I'm just saying I don't really know how to say it. They just focused on one. And we reach the world for Christ one at a time. One at a time. I want to read you this. It says, "For all the spent time, for every paid dime, through it all is one worth it. For all the difficult trials, for every walked smile, through it all is one worth it. For all the shed tears, for all the many years, through it all is one worth it. For all the meals made, for every gift gave, through it all is one worth it. For every knocked door, for every just one more, through it all is one worth it. For every late night, for every spiritual fight, through it all is one worth it. For every mile driven, for every note given, through it all is one worth it. For if the good shepherd would leave 99, that says it all, that through it all, one is worth it. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." One's worth it, folks. If I have to spend 3 years on deputation and get over and spend another 2 years to learn language, and then work with the Sterlings and spend 14 years over in Russia to see one soul saved and the trump sound, it'd be worth it all. It'd be worth it all. But we got to see a need, church. That's where it starts. That's where it's got to start. We've got to see a need. And then be burdened for the need. So burdened that it becomes determination. That no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, we've got to get them to Jesus. And have faith. If we get them there, Jesus will do His part. He'll do His part. Lord, we love You.